Hey guys, welcome to Telling the Told and Untold. My name is Tsuho. Before we go straight into today's case, I do have a couple of content warnings for you guys. In this video, we do talk about domestic abuse and suicide, but I don't go into any details. But still, if that's not something you think you're interested in watching, then this video probably isn't for you. So maybe you can watch some of my other videos or just wait for my next upload. There also aren't any pictures of the victim, so I do apologize for that. Sarah and Refulio were sisters that came from a very tight-knit family, and even when they grew up and started their own families, they still remained very close. Mohammed Sarah Makhwaiti was married to Basemang Makhwaiti, and together they had two children. Sarah worked in Bramfontein, she worked at some doctor's offices, and she had been there for a couple of years before the tragic events of today's case. And her sister Refulio Seroba was married to Franz Seroba, and together they had three children. They had twin boys and an older sister, and at the time of today's case, their twin boys were 10 years old and the sister was about 16 years old, if I'm not mistaken. Both Franz and Refulio worked, and they lived a very comfortable middle class life in their home in Buccleuch, Sandton. And for the most part, Refulio and Franz's marriage seemed like a very happy marriage. There wasn't anything that was out of the ordinary, but behind closed doors, things were completely different. In 2004, Franz's mental health started deteriorating, and he said that it started with him first experiencing a sensation on his head, and he also felt like there was something crawling on it, and this would continue for days, but there was never anything there. He then decided to go see a doctor, and this doctor prescribed him medication that was for patients that deal with psychosis, but it didn't help, and things just became worse. He started hearing voices of people talking around him, and he feared those voices, and he even started fearing his own shadow. He also said that he would hear a train coming into the yard, followed by footsteps of people getting off the train. Sometimes he would see a black figure, and this black figure would tell him. He started hearing voices of people talking around him, and he feared those voices, and he even started fearing his own shadow. He also said that he would hear a train coming into the yard, followed by footsteps of people getting off the train. Sometimes he would see a black figure, and this black figure would tell him that he had no reason to live. And because of this, Franz became very suicidal, and sometimes he would go looking for rope so that he could end his own life, but he would never go through with it. Franz also developed the urge to sit in a river and wash himself, believing that once he washes and cleanses himself, that he would stop feeling everything that he feels and he would be fine. But that was never the case. And although there wasn't a definitive diagnosis that he was given, he was treated for possible symptoms of bipolar disorder with psychotic features, and sometimes even schizophrenia was mentioned. Franz would also go to therapy, and during his therapy sessions, he told them that he felt as though Refulio was the cause of all of his problems, because she had been using Muti on him, and he also believed that she was being unfaithful. But he also had this obsessive desire, and he wasn't able to leave Refulio alone, and he just wanted to be around her every single day at every hour. And the only time that they would be apart is when both of them would go to work. But even then, Franz would call Refulio and just make sure that she was at work or wherever she said that she was going to be, and that she wasn't out doing something that he didn't approve of. During his sessions, Franz also spoke about him being both physically and emotionally abusive towards Refulio, and some of their family heard that Franz was going around telling people that Refulio had been unfaithful, and when they'd ask her about this, she would just tell them that it wasn't true. And police officers would later look for anything to suggest that she had been unfaithful, but they never found anything. As the weeks and months would go on, Rihule felt like the medication that Franz was taking wasn't helping him. So together as a couple, they did decide to go see a sangoma and just see what they had to say. And the sangoma gave them muti that Franz was to use. And after this, Franz would take both the medication that he was prescribed by doctors as well as the muti that he was prescribed or given by the sangoma. And even though he started using both of these things, they still didn't help, and it still seemed like his mental health was deteriorating. And at some point, he decided to stop taking both of these things and just see how he could live on his own. And not too long after this, he was sent to Rand Clinic, which is a psychiatric facility, for 2 weeks. As Franz's mental health and private life seemed to be deteriorating, his work life was the complete opposite. Between 2003 to 2005, his employer said that Franz was such a hard worker, and even though they knew that he had taken leave for about 2 weeks because of his health, they didn't know that it had to do with his mental health. They just thought that it had to do with something else. But the point is, when he was at work, he was fine, he was great, he was constantly doing his work, he was even promoted. But at home, he was completely different, and it said that he was almost like two different people. At home, he was one person, and at work, he was a completely different person. And what was also a bit strange was that even though he had all of his mental health issues, when he was at home, the only people that would ever see this would be Rifilwe, as well as the doctors that he would go and see. But those were the only people that would ever know that he was dealing with something. Franz also says that during this time, he had been terrified of everyone around him, and he even claimed that he felt threatened by a 6-month-old baby of his neighbors. And he also felt as though his wife's family were out to get him, and because of this, he became extremely wary of them. In December 2006, Sarah's son Musete decided to go visit his aunt and uncle Rifilwe and Franz in Beklu. He went to go see them, and whilst he was there, him and Rifilwe went to the shops and they walked there just so that they could spend some time together. And this is when Rifilwe decided to confide in her nephew. She told him that this was the first time that she had been allowed out of the house in a couple of days because Franz didn't trust her, and Franz was always with her 24/7, and the only reason why he let her go to the shops with her nephew is because he's a man and he doesn't believe that Rifilwe would do anything in front of her nephew. She then went on to tell him that their marriage wasn't going well and there were a lot of issues, and that Franz had completely changed, and that he was also being physically abusive, and that she was thinking of leaving him. She then also told him that she hadn't told people about what had been happening in her marital home, and the only person that she had ever spoken to about it was her sister Sarah, and Sarah was supporting her and also told her that she should get a divorce. And Musete didn't really think much of this conversation. Yes, he was worried about his aunt, but he felt like he had a good feeling knowing that his mom was supporting his aunt and that things were going to be sorted out. But just a month later, his whole world would turn upside down. On Saturday the 29th of January 2007, Rifilwe and Franz were home with their twin boys. That day, they were planning to go to their daughter's school so that they could pay school fees. And that morning, the twin boys were playing PlayStation, and then they decided to go outside so that they could play some soccer, leaving their parents inside of the house. And as they were playing soccer, they then heard their parents arguing, and this caught their attention because they had never seen their parents arguing or heard them say anything bad about each other. So it was a bit strange. And then after this, they heard something like a pop, and it terrified them. The twins then started talking between themselves, trying to figure out whether they should go into the house to go see what was going on, or should they just stay outside. And this is when their dad Franz came out of the house and he had a plastic, and inside the plastic was an A4 envelope. He then told the twins to get into the car, and when they said that they wanted to go into the house to go say bye to their mother, he told them that their mother was bathing, so they couldn't. And the boys thought it was a bit weird because they knew that their mother had already showered for the day and she was dressed and ready to leave, but because it's their dad, they didn't really think much of it, and they then got into the car. Franz then drove them to Deepcliff, where he dropped them off at his mother's house, and he kind of just like stopped the car in front of the house. The boys got out, they knocked on the door, and once he saw his mother open the door, he didn't say anything, he didn't say bye, he just drove off. At the same time that all of this was happening, Sarah, Rufilo's sister, was at work, and it was a Saturday. It was a very slow day, and because she had been working there for a couple of years, it was very normal for her to have like her family come over and visit her for the day, and that day was like any other day. Sarah's daughter was at work with her, and her son Musehle was on the way. There was also a patient in the waiting room waiting to see the doctor when Franz walked in. And Franz going to Sarah's workplace wasn't anything out of the ordinary, so when Sarah and Sarah's daughter saw him, they didn't think much of it. They greeted him, they hugged each other, and Sarah's daughter would later go on to say that when Franz walked in, he was completely normal. There wasn't anything that stood out. It was just his hug. When he hugged her, he felt a bit tense, but she really didn't think much of it. She didn't dwell on it, and they just continued. Sarah then asked Franz where Rufilo was, and he said that Rufilo was back home. She was doing laundry, and then she asked where the twins were, and he said that the twins were also at home with Rufilo, and they were just playing PlayStation. After this, he kind of just like turned around and started walking outside when Sarah asked him where he was going, and he just said that he was going to get something quickly and he'll be back. He then went outside to his car that was parked right in front of the doctor's offices, and CCTV footage showed him opening his door and taking out a plastic, and in the plastic there was an A4 envelope. He then walked back into the doctor's offices, past the security. He then reached into the plastic, into the envelope, and took out a gun. He pointed it towards Sarah and then shot her twice in the head. He then turned around very calmly and walked straight out. As he was walking down the stairs, he then met up with Musehle, Sarah's son, and he had heard some commotion and noise, so he asked Franz what was happening or if he knew anything, and Franz just told him that he didn't know what was happening and he just left. Musehle then went up to the doctor's offices, and then he saw his sister holding his mother, who was on the floor bleeding from her head, and immediately he knew that Franz had done it. After this, Musehle knew that he had to call Rufilo to try and warn her so that she could leave the house with her three children. And he called and called and called, and all of his calls went unanswered. He then called police. As all of this was happening, Franz had gotten into his car and he was driving home when he called one of his brothers, and he told his brother that something bad had happened at the house, his house in Buccleuch, and that he had to go there immediately. This brother wasn't able to go, so he then called one of their other brothers, Richard, and Richard lived very close to the Seruba household in Buccleuch, and immediately Richard got into his car and drove to the Seruba household. At this point, the doctor that Sarah worked for was trying to administer CPR, but it was very clear that there was nothing that she could do. She then turned to Sarah's two children and told them that their mother was gone. Police soon arrived on the scene, and Musehle immediately told them that Franz had murdered his mother and that he was probably on his way home to do the same thing to his wife and children. He quickly explained to them the whole situation and what Rufilo had told him just a month earlier, and the police officers then called their colleagues who were closer to Buccleuch to go to the house and try and see what was happening. Musehle decided that he was going to go to the Seruba household in Buccleuch so that he could try and stop Franz or try and save his aunt Rufilo and his cousins. So he got into his car and drove there. And at this point, Francis' brother had arrived at this Ribe household, and he got to the door and it was unlocked, so he just went inside and he started calling out for his sister-in-law Refilwe. And once he walked into the living room, he saw her at the bottom of the stairs and she was clearly dead. She had been shot twice. He then started panicking and started searching the entire house trying to look for his nephews and niece, and he felt so relieved when he didn't find them in the house. He was about to call police when Franz walked into the house, and he said Franz looked so scary. His eyes were bulging out of his head, his teeth were showing, and he looked almost like an animal. And he was so frightened that Richard just ran outside, and as he ran outside, police officers had just arrived on the scene. He then told them what he saw inside of the house, and then not too long after that, Franz walked out and he was like the complete opposite. He was very calm and he just looked at police officers. And then when police officers asked him what happened, he said that his wife was dead. And when they asked him like who killed her, he said it was me. And then he was immediately arrested. And when police officers asked him where the gun that he used was, he said that it was in a box. He had already put it away and locked it up. And then he also told them where the papers that his papers for his gun license were, and then he was taken to the police station. The Thiruba and Makwati families were then informed that both Refilwe and Sarah had been murdered by Franz Thiruba. And then Sarah and Refilwe's 8-year-old mother learned that not only had she lost one daughter, but she had lost both of them. Refilwe's children were also informed that their mother was dead, and the twins had to come to terms with the fact that that noise that they heard earlier that Saturday morning was their mother losing her life. Franz never denied committing the murders, and both families thought that the court proceedings would be fast and that they would be able to start the grieving process, knowing that Franz was behind bars, but he wasn't going to make it easy for them. Franz's defense was his mental health, and immediately he was taken to the Sterkfontein Psychiatric Hospital for an assessment. After this, he was found fit to stand trial and granted 20,000 rand bail. But he would then constantly go from state-appointed psychiatrists to private ones, and he would usually do this when the state-appointed psychiatrist would tell him something that he didn't want to hear. So then he would hire like his own private psychiatrist so that they could kind of support what he said. Eventually, Franz would have to go to Weskopies for a follow-up assessment, and in total, he saw 9 psychiatrists. At his first plea deal, Franz pleaded not guilty as a result of pathological incapacity. So, in other words, he admitted that he physically committed the murders, but he said because of his mental state, he can't be held liable for the murders, and he didn't know the difference between right and wrong, and he basically just said that he would not accept the wrongfulness of his actions because he was not criminally responsible because he suffered from a mental illness. And he said that on the day of the murders, he just remembers that he and Refilwe were planning on going to their daughter's school so that they could pay school fees, and then he went to the shops to buy bread. And he said that after this, he basically just blacked out, and then he remembers coming to when he was behind bars at the Sandton police station, and everything that happened in between, he has no recollection. He said, and I quote, "I don't know what it is, but I felt the spirit. I felt myself going up and then hitting the floor. I was attacked by this blackness. I felt like I was hitting the roof and then as if I'm falling down into darkness." The trial was constantly delayed because Franz would ask for so many different evaluations from different psychiatrists. And because of this, sometimes when it was time to go to court, some psychiatrists would be up on the stand and they would say something completely different to what they had written in their report. So then the judge couldn't allow that, so then they would have to go back and redo the evaluation. Or sometimes the psychiatrists that Franz had seen had either retired, they had either moved, so it was just there was just a lot going on, and it was just very, very messy. Then there were the normal delays that happen in the court system. People arrive for their scheduled court date, and then right before it's supposed to start, they're told that it's been postponed. And this happened to the Siruba and Makwati family 30 times. They also would never see the same judge each time they went to court, and in total, they saw 13 different judges. And at some point, Sarah's husband was so frustrated that he stood up and he complained to the judge. And some judges were very understanding of what the Siruba and Makwati family was going through, but most of the time, the judges just didn't care, and this judge didn't care. He threatened to have Sarah's husband kicked out of the courthouse, and his father then had to stand up, and he was very old and frail, and had to beg the judge to just let him stay and just try to make the judge see where he was coming from, because the trial had been delayed so many times and he was just frustrated. France was adamant that he was suffering from serious mental health conditions from the early 2000s and had his psychotic break in 2007. And some psychiatrists believed that he did have a psychotic break, but most of them that believed this were the ones that France had hired. And most of the psychiatrists that didn't believe that he had a psychotic break were the state-appointed psychiatrists. But it turned out that most of them did all have like the same consensus, and it's that France had this really bizarre behavior, and they in fact believed that he was malingering. And by malingering, they basically just mean that they felt as though France had been acting from the very beginning of his mental health issues in 2004. And the reason they say this is because during his assessments, if they were like long-term assessments, they would always say that there's like no psychosis, anything like that, and he's completely fine. But if it was a short assessment, then they would write that there are signs of psychosis. So they believe that he was only able to act during short assessments, but if it was long term, he didn't know how to act. What also convinced some of the psychiatrists that France was in fact malingering is because his private life and his work life were completely different, and also the fact that it was only Rifilwe and his doctors that ever saw anything, but everyone else didn't see anything. And yes, there are a lot of instances where people's psychosis isn't seen like in their normal behavior, but the way that France did it was very different, and it was most likely that he was just acting. During the trial, Franz also said that sometime after the murders, he went to a sangoma and a prophet to find out why he had shot his family, and he was told that he had a calling from his ancestors, and the judge was not impressed with this evidence. Finally, on the 14th of July 2015, 8.5 years after Franz had murdered his wife and sister-in-law, the judge dismissed France's claims of incompetence and instead found that he was indeed guilty of 2 charges of murder. In the courtroom, there were some family members who supported France and others who didn't. One of the people who supported him was his daughter. Rifilwe and France's daughter was not there the day of the murders, and she said that she's dealt with a lot of anger towards her father over the years, but she chose to take the stand in mitigation of sentence to ask the judge that he not deny her the privilege of at least experiencing one parent. She cried as she explained that her choice to stand by her father had been incredibly difficult, and she still didn't understand what had happened that day, but she felt better having a relationship with her father than not having one at all. The judge, though, didn't think that France deserved any understanding in handing down his sentence, and He said that it was clear to him that Franz had acted with direct intent on the day of the murders and that he had been very clear-minded. The judge also pointed out different aspects of the crime that show that Franz had pre-planned the murders and that he wasn't in any psychotic state. And the reason why he said this is because Franz had been able to take out the firearm that was locked in a box. So he had taken out a bunch of keys and found the right key. He had made sure that his sons were outside and didn't see their mother. He had driven from Buccleuch all the way to Diepkloof, and then after that he had driven from Diepkloof to Bramfontein and then from Bramfontein back to Buccleuch. So he had spent a lot of time in his car, so he had a lot of time to think it through. He also said that Franz had concealed his weapon at the doctor's office in order to gain access, and he had also spoken very lucidly with many people. So his defense of being psychotic was not going to hold up. The judge also believes that the reason why Franz had killed Rifilwe and her sister Sarah is because he felt as though he couldn't control her anymore, and Sarah was also helping Rifilwe, so instead of dealing with that, he was just going to get rid of both of them. Finally, Franz Seroba was given 18 years for the murder of his wife Rifilwe Seroba and another 18 years for the murder of his sister-in-law Sarah Makwati. 9 years of the sentence of the second murder will run concurrently with 18 years of the first. So basically, Franz has been sentenced to 27 years in prison, but he'll be eligible for parole just after 13 and a half years, so in 2028.